Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, hello.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. It's time to labrish. Well, first, I hope that you've taken your virtual trip to the island and you're seated in your favorite relaxing chair. And you know the old saying, no problem, man. You have allowed the cares of the day, of the week, to just slide right by, and you're enjoying the trade winds as they just blew across the island. So with that said, I would like to welcome our callers on the board, and I see we have quite a few of them this evening. So I want to welcome you all and those that may be listening online, as well as those who may come by later. And for those regulars, you know we were not on last week because of technical difficulties. You know, the technology we embrace now is wonderful, but we never know when it's going to fail us. So with that said, I want to let you know that I'm glad to see you're back, and I'm glad to be back. This evening, I'm very excited because we are starting a series that I hope you will all enjoy and participate in. And on my trip to Jamaica recently, I noticed that there were so many changes. And as I celebrated the independence, 49 years, I realized 50 years is coming up soon. For some people, that's a whole lifetime. And I know that most of us, a lot of us, will not be around for another 50 years. And I thought about the fact that when I was a teenager, I had no interest in history. Didn't necessarily want, except for what I was forced to learn in school. You know, it was just too boring, and I really wasn't interested. But now that I've matured and retired, I just find the history about people and things about my island is just so interesting. I can't get enough of it. So with that said, I thought about the fact that we all don't know what Jamaica will look like or sound like or be like in 50 years. And it would be great to have some seniors who were in school during the pre-independence and the seniors that are willing to talk to me on the radio and have memories of any phase of their schooling that would want to share it with us. It might be neat for some of the young people now when they are retired to start to just listen to our stories. So I have decided to start a series which would be education in the 40s and 50s the way it was, because I'm sure that already I think things have changed, but can you imagine in 50 years perhaps it will be way different. And for the my fans who may have grandchildren like I do, you know, they might just have an interest in 50 years. So I encourage you, I'm glad you're here, but I also encourage you to be vocal and participate, and perhaps you may know someone who would like to talk about their school days from parts of the island or a special school, and you will introduce us to them so that we can all have our stories in the cloud where it will always be. So with that said, I am excited because we have a very special guest tonight from a very special school. And for Kingstonians, I don't think any Jamaican growing up when I did, everyone knew about that school, but especially Kingstonians. So tonight we have Mr. Lay Nunes, who is a graduate of St. George's, and I'm going to read a little about him for you before I open up the mic to him. If ever there was a Georgian or through and through, it is the one I'm about to introduce to you this evening. Mr. Nunes attended Holy Rosary School, a parochial primary school and administered by local nuns who provided the best recommendation one could ever hope for to get into St. George's College if a recommendation was ever needed. In those days, attending St. George's was an entry to getting into the business world, partly because of those, I'm not sure if it's Georgians, because, you know, I live in Georgia, and I'm not a Georgian. I may not be pronouncing it right, but I'm sure Mr. Nunes will correct me, those Georgians who had passed through its walls before was partly because of those who aspired to graduate in the future. St. George's treated every student like a kind of clay, which the renowned Jesuits molded into their inimitable way, and young Mr. Nunes was no exception. Upon his graduation from St. George's in 1951, he stepped into the real world, branded as a people person. He graduated from St. John's University with a CMA degree in business administration and a minor in accounting in 1957. The principles grounded in him at St. George's back in the day guided him throughout his career for 30 years with Domino Sugar Company, now the Tate and Lyle of London. Prior to his business tenure, he spent 4 years in the United States Air Force in the Department of Finance and Accounting. So thanks to St. George's. So I would like at this time to welcome Mr. Nunes to the show, to the backyard, and I'm going to open up his mic. Good evening, Mr. Lay. Welcome to the Labrish.
Yes, this is Lay from the Bronx, New York.
Home of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. The thing is that I feel dated in that it's 60 years. I just added it up since I left St. George's, so
that's
a long
something.
Time, 60 years.
Yes, but you know, I am just so excited on the fact that we can use this technology to leave a living legacy for someone that might come by 60 years from this. Isn't that wonderful?
Sure is.
With that said, I would like to start off. You mentioned here about, you know, the pre-St. George's days of Holy Rosary Primary. So what you mentioned that it was all nuns.
Well, they weren't all nuns there. There were, as I recall, maybe about five nuns and lay persons. But the nuns, of course, ran the show.
And right.
They were, as anybody who has ever had nuns know, they were not to be trifled with.
Were they from a special order?
I don't even remember what the Jamaican order was called, but they wore the blue habits as opposed to, the black and white or whatever else. The white, if the nursing nuns wore all white.
All white, yes. I remember the different shades, but I didn't know that it sort of, meant anything, a special order. I knew then, but I never knew what it was.
Oh, yeah, so I really should know the name of the order, but I like
lighten up. I'm thinking that the medical was the white, of course, and the blue was more relaxed than the black, because the black seemed like it would be, you know, very strict, whatever that order was.
Yeah.
So you might have been the one in the middle.
Yeah.
So
let's start with that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that you're from Georgia, if you would like to say it that way.
Yeah, I'm a southerner.
Yes,
but I haven't
really
talk southern much, because whenever anyone, I speak to them and they ask me where I'm from.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm here longer than I ever lived in Jamaica. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Well, St. George's boys are known as Georgians.
Georgians. Okay, got it.
Yep. So, St. George's boys was a ragtag bunch when I went to school, in a sense that we didn't wear uniforms. If we wanted to keep our shirts out of the pants, you know, we could, as opposed to our enemy across the street, KC, who had to wear uniforms.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that George's boys didn't wear uniforms.
Yeah, different story now, but we're talking about back in 1947, thereabout, you know. So the whole going to college when I went.
Holy Rosary first.
Pardon?
Just quickly. What grades, I mean, you went from, say, kindergarten to the time you got to St. George's?
No, well, it wasn't really a kindergarten because, you know, it's like a prep school. Kindergarten is like, when you're tots and they call them early childhood schools. In Jamaica, early childhood, it's like from age 2 to 5, but this was after that, so it's really in the primary prep category.
Got you.
Yeah, so let's say from 7 to 12, 13, thereabouts, so they Holy Rosary would prepare you for a school like St. George's, which was a school that was a British school, so we had different rules, so to speak. And in those days, St. George's did not get grant and aid, so that's why we could wear our shirts out of the pants, because we didn't have to answer to anybody, even the government, you know.
Mm.
So when I went to school, a teenager was college was a big deal for a teenager, because you didn't want to be one amongst your peers who did not make it into college. For those people who think that college is similar to college in the United States, you're only half right. We had to go for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And these colleges in Jamaica College, Kingston College, Cornwall College, they all had liberal arts syllabus. So that would qualify you if you graduate from a four-year school like St. George's or one of those colleges to enter what they call the sixth form college. So taken together, the 4 years plus an extra two would be like on the European standard, the English standard. So you're completing two extra years, and if you did the two extra years, you're going into higher school, which would, if you went to a college in the United States, you might be...
It would then be a university, or they still call it a college here, then?
Well, you still call it a college or a university, but my point is that if you graduate with good marks, you could be exempt from what they call matriculation, which your freshman year in college here, you could be exempt from that.
Wow.
Just based on going to the six-year school in our college in Jamaica. Get it?
I see.
So
interesting.
So the first thing in Jamaica was to get into a six-year college would be to take an entrance exam. Now, the entrance exam was more or less stipulated by government, but remember I said that we were not obliged to do anything directed by government. Even though on the books by that time, by the time I went to school, we were actually getting are supposed to get government grants, which would
and we're talking about the British government at that time.
Jamaican government, you know, because they'd pass on the rules. The British government would pass on the rules to the Jamaica government how to run the schools.
I see.
Because they had to meet certain standards.
Uh-huh.
So, after I looked up some dates, I realized that we were in fact under the grant and aid program, but we weren't getting the money yet.
I see.
You know, I don't know where the money was, but we still thought that we were independent, and so we had to pass entrance exams to get into St. George's, and as you would if you were going to KC or any one of those other schools. And then, of course, I mentioned recommendations. You needed recommendation to get into St. George's. And the big thing is that, you know, the pressure that was on you and your parents, because they had to come up with your folks had to come up with the school fees.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if they were higher, if St. George's was higher than the other schools?
I don't know pound for pound or dollar for dollar, but and to be honest with you, I think we might have been a little lower than some of the other schools. But the fact is that you still had to, your parents still had to come up with it. And
mm-hmm.
if you had two children in a family, you would need to know where the school fees are coming from. But
right.
anyway, I finally made it into St. George's.
I see that we have another hand for 305. Would you like, perhaps it's another George's, all boys.
Go ahead, let him on.
Okay. I'm not sure now, but you never know. Let me open up the mic here. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, Madge. This is Julio, another St. George's old boy.
Hi there. Welcome to the backyard.
Yeah, Julio Forbes. I was listening to...
Who are you calling from, Julio?
Yes.
Let's tell the world where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
Hey, welcome to Miami.
That's where I'm residing now.
Great.
After all those days. But I was listening to I was listening to Leah for a while, and I see we basically had the same journey in that we started at Holy Rosary.
No kidding.
And then,
what's your
Forbes,
name?
Forbes, Leah, Forbes. I used to live right in front of Mickey Richards on Zephyr Road here.
All right.
Oh, we're bringing folks together. I love it.
You remember.
That's a little comfort. I have to watch what I say here.
Of course not. Very much so, man. We have you under examination.
Yes.
No, yes, because I remember you very well because, you were a bigger young man to me, but we still, we knew each other then. I don't know if you remember, but those are the days of Michael Richards, Joe Richards, Don Wilson, and
I still see all those fellas, so maybe that's why they're, I sort of remember them very quickly, but
okay, yes. The last time I saw you was at Maggie's. I think it might have been. Stephen's wedding or something like that.
Oh.
But I saw you in Atlanta.
Yes. All right.
Yes. But as I was listening to your program now, about St. George's, a couple of changes in my time. I graduated in 57.
Oh.
Somewhat a little after you, but things were a lot more disciplined in those days in that we had to wear uniforms and epaulets. And, when I listened to you, you said there were no uniforms in your time.
No.
Here it is. Now you are learning something from him. Isn't that interesting?
Definitely. It has changed and progressed over the years, and obviously, and for the better, I hope. And I heard him mention something about fees. Yes, St. George's was low in entrance fees.
Tuition
fees, yes, than most of the other high schools or colleges. I like to refer to St. George's as University on North Street.
I love that.
we had Kingston College on the same road.
Our perennial enemies.
That's correct.
I am not as, I don't go back as far as Leah, and I always remember the George's boys wearing uniforms, so that's why when he said that, I said, perhaps I forgot.
So
you see, Leah, you got the easy part during your time, and then as Julia mentioned, it got to where they, perhaps that's when they got the money.
Maybe.
Okay.
Right.
We evolved from first form, from short pants.
Yes.
And by the time we were in second form, we had long pants. I don't know if that was in your time. Give me
an idea of what first form age would be.
About 11.
11, I see.
Yes,
uh-huh.
11 years. Yes.
Yeah. So, Mr. Nunes, we'll give it back to you.
Yes, well, you know, after you passed your entrance exams, and you would be you qualified for school, and now a different world begins. And I can remember the very first day I went into class, and I'm not sure if you had Father Donovan.
No.
Julio, well.
In my days, it was Father Mullen and Father Quinlan, et cetera, et cetera.
Quinlan was okay compared
right.
to the rest of them.
Right.
But Father
Matt Mullen.
Father Donovan was an ex-boxer.
Oh, boy. My goodness.
And
yes.
On the very first day, he asserted who he was and what he expected of us.
Yes, definitely.
And, it was really scary because here it is, you are used to nuns.
Right.
Who aren't saints in their own rights because they give you the cane too, you know.
That's correct.
Yeah. But this guy, I can remember, I was 3 weeks into school, and I had a little altercation with another fellow, bigger than me. And he says, well, let's meet at 4:30, the whole class.
My
goodness. And I had to step into the boxing ring.
You mean a literal boxing ring? You're talking the real ring?
Oh, yes. Oh yes,
and you
boxing
see what he was looking for is probably a candidate for his. He was in charge of boxing in his school boxing, so
right.
It was an easy way for him to corral some of the boys, you know. Well, he wasn't looking at me because I think in the first round. Dr. Nash, Philip Nash, was the referee, and he was able to get me out of the ring.
Very good.
You know?
Yes,
but,
yes.
On that first day, the priest, the same Father Donovan, taught you how to shake hands.
Yes.
You know, they pointed out that you are a little boy coming into a man's world, and you must know how to shake hands. So
discipline, man, discipline.
Discipline and practical things, you know.
Yes.
We didn't learn grabbing a book and reading all the time. We learned
right.
about life. And that was
more
really
than academics.
Yeah, that separated St. George's from a lot of these other schools, you know. And, of course, we had a syllabus, and on the first day in school, they would read you what the set books were.
Right.
And it was up to you to go out and obtain them. If you remember, there used to be Spencer's down on King Street or Sangster Bookstore.
Sangster Bookstore, right.
And you would have to go and get your books. And guys a lot of guys would get the books and not look in them, but these guys had a system, the lecturers, Father Donovan, Father O'Connor, and some of those people, they had a system where you just had to do your homework.
Right.
Because you know you were going to get called in, and you know what the consequences would be.
Demerits.
Yes, well, I read only today how that the merit system came in, you know.
I see, okay.
Did you have Father Hannes, Bill Hannes?
Yes, definitely in the chemistry and biology.
All right, now Bill Hannes was instrumental in starting that merit and demerit system. And at the same time, we had what was called, you would know, the houses.
Different houses, Xavier and Loyola and so on.
Bellarmine, I was a Bellarmine man.
Is that right?
For the layperson, what is a house? Like a group?
Yes.
It's a designated group
of students, randomly picked.
Right.
Oh, you don't know what group you're going to land up in.
Yes, from that day forward, anything you do would probably reflect on how your house.
That's right.
To the, yes. So if you got merits, that's fine. But if you got demerits, your house would be in rough waters.
That's correct.
So each person, each member of the house had a responsibility to have the house show up good.
Oh, yes.
Now, that to me, that is the foundation for teamwork.
Yes,
not only teamwork, but discipline.
Right. And so it tells you how deep that is.
Right. And we participated in sports.
Sports as well, and you get credit for that too. So in the end, maybe I forget how it worked. Maybe at the end of the term, when they tallied up your scores, you would have a winner.
Right.
Yeah.
Ah.
And I'm not going to go too far on the demerit side, because I wouldn't dare tell you who was a champion of demerits. I wasn't. I'll put it this way: I was constantly in Coventry.
What is Coventry?
I know you were going to ask that.
Well, I think the world would like to know.
Well,
was that Greek to me?
Well, not. It could have been a Greek word, but Coventry. You were separated from the student body. And you were, I don't know if they did it like that when you were there, Julio.
Right.
But we had to stand up in front of the assembly every morning. And there were things that you had to do to make you more conspicuous. So that everybody...
Dye your hair? Like dye your hair?
If you wanted to do that... But you might.
I'm just being funny.
I get more demerits for that, you see.
I know. So may I ask, what would warrant a demerit?
Anything. For instance, if you went to Carib on Saturday evening, as most of us did, and you yelled "shut up" or you made some funny noise, and the monitor in the theater singled you out as being a St. George's boy, and then you owned up to be the ringleader, that could put you in deep trouble Monday morning when you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Father Crutchley as headmaster, and Father Crutchley, I you know, this guy was... He was a Jamaican Jesuit, and he was not very sociable, to say the least. So,
now, where were the other Jesuits from?
Well, I was going to come to that in just a few minutes.
Okay, all right. Leave it park it then.
You have to realize that St. George's was a... what's called a Jesuit school, taught by, in those days, by Jesuit priests. I say in those days because, as Julio said, a lot of things have changed. And the faculty, which was in my day but almost 98% priests, Jesuit priests, with just one, I can remember, one lay person was Mr. Chaps.
Right. He was there too in my time.
Yes.
Brilliant layman.
Yeah. And Mr. Chaps was the math, geography and math teacher, and he was also my swimming instructor.
Right.
And the Jesuits, they are well known around the world as a teaching order.
Mm-hmm.
And in the years that we went to school, the order came from the New England province in the United States, which was Boston and Maine and those areas. And
that's interesting.
A few of them were still from New York province, which was phased out after a while, you know. In the early days, very early days, the Jesuits came from Maryland province. And then they came from New York and Maryland. And then in my day, in our day, they came from New England. So you might say all of our teachers, all of our priests, teachers, were from New England.
Right.
And they...
You really?
They,
an American influence.
Oh, you sense that, huh?
Right. And I suppose that's why the British didn't want to give the money.
Well, no.
Kidding.
Yeah,
it's elaborate.
That's far-fetched, you know, because don't forget now, when the Jesuits actually came to Jamaica in 1850.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thrown out of Colombia because of their faith, their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came to Jamaica, remember who was running the show there? The British Church of England.
Right, right.
So they weren't
welcome with open arms.
They weren't all that welcome. In fact, a couple of times in their tenure, they left, but they returned. And, you know, they got rid of this Spanish group that came from Colombia, and they brought in a group that spoke English, of course, the group from New England.
Right.
So they basically started St. George's back then. That's 161 years ago.
Wow.
I was there for the centennial, Julio.
Yes, yes.
That was a very big day there.
Well, you know, as you're talking, you know, Lee, it reminds me that the Jesuit was so outstanding that they produced a lot of qualified, you know, men.
Yes.
To the point that in every field, you could see a St. George's boy making some kind of contribution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our current time, our current prime minister went to St. George's College.
Right.
Which is Bruce Golding.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So I'm just confirming and attesting to the fact that St. George's was really, the priests, the Jesuits,
yes,
were,
yes,
outstanding teachers, and they really made some contribution, and it showed it. It reflected in the kind of students that they now have throughout the world.
Yes.
I mean, you, you hear of St. George's boys making contributions as doctors and physicians and scientists and all kind. You know, you never feel.
Well,
you're making all contribution.
You must have had Bogo Chen and Anthony
Chen. That's
Chen.
Correct. That's another Ola Rosa boy.
Yes.
That's,
and
you
he shared the award for, that President, the Vice President Gore shared with him. An award that had to do with global warming.
Yes.
Hmm.
When I hear Bugo, I know you know him well because he's Anthony Chen.
Oh yeah.
Whenever people like you and me call him Bugo.
Bugo is not only a St. George's a Ola Rosa boy, but I can remember playing tennis over at Ola Rosary, and the first.
That's right.
First place I would go would be to Bogo Chen's parents' ice cream parlor for a float.
That's right. That's correct.
May I ask a question? These
yeah.
Jesuit priests, right,
yes.
wore habits too.
Yes.
Or
well,
did they bring when they taught?
Cassius.
Yeah, well, in Jamaica, the Jesuits, number one, are known as the black priests, not black by color, but by what they wear. So
uh-huh.
they would wear, as opposed to the nuns' habit, they would wear a cassock, a black cassock. However, it was in my time that the provincial allowed them to wear white cassocks.
Right.
So let me ask you
guys
this. What
like
they wore when they played tennis?
Pardon? Oh, come on.
I don't know.
They put on their shorts.
They can show their legs.
But they're men.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they're just regular guys. Even
all
though
right.
In our day we didn't treat them like regular guys. We thought they were on a platform way up there.
They were revered, yes, yes, yes. And I must say, you know, most teachers, or all teachers were in those old days.
Yes,
you don't
yes.
speak back to them. You don't, you know, it's that none of that went on.
Right.
So anyway, go back. You know, me and my sidebars.
Yes, well, the Jesuits in Jamaica basically taught Latin, Greek, French, English, rhetoric, history, and other things, you know. But basically, in a liberal arts school, that's what they taught. And because of those kinds of subjects, St. George's boys were known to be very good public speakers and debating, did very well in debating societies.
Yeah. Yes. Remember
yeah.
those days.
Yeah. But we also had a very important science department. Now, we had a science laboratory which was gradually expanded to a physics, a chemistry, and later on a biology department. So we had a full-fledged science department, which was actually a first in Jamaica because we had a seismological department there that was consulted by the governments, not only of Jamaica, but of Latin America when there was an earthquake or an earthquake in the region or anywhere in the world. It was recorded right there at St. George's.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is really just great. So just sort of flow us over a day. How early did school start? Did your classes start?
Classes started... It depends. It's almost like in a college now where
Really?
If you were taking English and English was, let's say, 8:30, 9 o'clock, that's when it would be. Or if it's history, it might be 10 in the morning. So depending on
that's
what...
when you would go to school, you didn't have everybody didn't have to get there by a certain time?
Oh, yes. You know, you only have the privilege of coming in late after you complete your 4 years.
Oh, you're talking about the other extra. I got you. Mm-hmm.
You're now a big boy, you know.
Yeah,
but,
it was just like university.
Well, almost.
Yeah.
But
did you have lunch in school?
You could. Most of, are you talking in the days when we all had bicycles?
Uh-huh.
I was able to run home sometimes. My grandmother used to have lunch ready for me. Some
mm-hmm.
days I would have lunch with the boys. You go to, a restaurant someplace, or we had a tuck shop. You remember that tuck shop?
Oh, yes, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, the tuck shop. We
now,
had...
tell me the year you're talking about, because some of our listeners coming by later on might, you know, come in on a later part. Tell us what year we're talking about here.
Into the 49-50 area now.
Uh-oh, 1949-1950, good.
We could have lunch at school. And
what would be lunch?
Well, I don't think it was a hot lunch from because you're looking forward to going home and having a hot meal. But if you went to I take that back because there was a YWCA. Outside of the school, I don't remember the road, but they served hot lunches, and once in a while I would go over there for a really good hot meal.
Mm. Yeah, I remember the YWCA and YMCA used to serve hot lunches. I remember that.
So,
very popular.
You know, I guess it's really your choice. And, of
yeah.
course, I said I had my bicycle, and I could get home in time on Lincoln Road there to my grandmother used to have something ready for me. I guzzle it down and get back to school.
Uh-huh. Very popular in a tuck shop. It was patties, cocoa
yes.
bread, sugar
uh-huh.
bun, milk, and
mm-hmm.
soft drinks.
Yeah.
But I don't think that has changed much. The
no.
patty and cocoa bread has really survived all the generations.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that didn't survive is a crust. I don't know where you could get a crust now these days. Patty and crust.
Ah, you remember the crust, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
just made a mistake not so long ago to go to one of these West Indian patty places, and I don't know why I said crust, and the girl looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah. So, these priests were well qualified, and you know they, aside from having just St. George's, they were, of course, as we said before, they're dedicated to teaching and evangelization in 112 nations and 6 continents around the world. So we feel privileged to have had them in Jamaica.
So
right.
religion was part of the instruction.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was part but not mandatory because don't forget, and Julio will attest to the fact that we had Chinese, we had Indians, we had Jews, we had every, you name it, and we had it in school, and they were not all Catholics.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Some of them
probably to be admitted in the school.
Pardon?
You
no.
did not have to be a Catholic by religion to be admitted in the school.
No,
that's
definitely.
That's correct.
Oh, great. And of course, coming from Holy Rosary gave you a heads up.
Well, it gave a heads up in that I more or less, I was going to a Catholic school. I came from a Catholic school to a Catholic school, and that benefited me to that extent. But
personally, yes, I got
you. The priests didn't do me any favors for all of that because I served on the altar, and on Sunday and weekends, some of the same teachers, the priests, Jesuits, would come up to say Mass, and it was as if we were in a different world.
Mm.
Right.
So,
they didn't know you.
Well, they know. They knew me, and it's as you're not getting any favors, in other words.
Right. That's what I meant.
You have to pass your exam like everybody else.
Like everybody else. Now,
right.
My Spanish teacher, did you have photo, Father Feeney?
Yes.
Father Feeney was a wonderful priest, and I guess because of my last name, I would get really good marks from him. But
you knew your Spanish. Well.
For a favor.
Your Spanish. Don't be so modest, man. You knew your Spanish, man.
Well, I did do well in Spanish then because I associated with the boys from Latin America. We had boys from Colombia and Santo Domingo, all over the place.
And we had a boarding school too that they could stay.
Yes,
on campus.
I should have mentioned that that we had a very fine boarding school. And the boarders, as a matter of fact, we mentioned Mr. Chaps, his wife was a very point figure up at the boarding school. She was a nurse.
Right.
And she was always over there. We could hold our own scholastically with anyone. In fact, the kind of scholarships, the fact that we were not government aided had its rewards, but it also had its downside. A George boy, as far as I know, could not be a Jamaica scholar. I guess his preparation was slightly different from what they required to be. The government required to qualify you, but we got Rhodes scholars.
That's right.
In fact, Maurice Ten, who was one of my classmates, he got a very good scholarship to Princeton and later returned to the island and became senator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, after your time, we had Trevor Monroe.
And we had
the now fellow who is now a deacon down there.
Twits.
Run it, Twits. So we did produce a lot of, Rhodes scholars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that a lot of people didn't know about at St. George's was that we had a cadet corps.
That's correct.
And Dr. Nash was at one point assistant commander, then he became commander of that corps.
Very good, yeah.
And
was that attached to the military in any way?
Well, it produced officers.
Oh, interesting.
And yours truly was in there only because Philip was there.
Right.
And, we had either to be a cadet or do some sport, either or, and I did both, my sport being swimming.
Now, you mentioned the Chinese and the famous Byron Lee.
Yes, he's also
St. George's old boy.
Oh yes, Byron was a good buddy. he was a very good center forward in football.
That's correct.
I was just about to talk about your football careers and championships that you guys were known for.
Well,
rivalry with the other schools.
Well, we are always a contender in football. Let's put it that way. We are very good. We're always on the top, but not always winning the shield,
the Manning
whatever
Cup.
It was, the
Manning Cup.
Manning Cup.
Right.
But we were always in contention. However, in swimming, we won swimming for 15 years straight.
Wow.
And we didn't have a swimming pool.
And we didn't have a swimming pool.
But you swam at Bournemouth.
Bournemouth was a swimming pool.
That is correct. That
yes,
is correct.
Because I remember that's where, you know, my
yes.
husband and I used to hang out.
Yes.
So for the old timers on the board from Kingston, I'm sure they know about Bournemouth. And I just want to take a quick break to mention to our listeners that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this segment is Backyard Labrish. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And we're doing a segment of 40s and 50s, the way it was in school in Jamaica. So if you would like to join the Labrish, just send us an email and let me know, or get in touch with me. I'm not very hard to reach. Go to our website. You can communicate with us there, which is www.backyardlabrish.com. So back to you, Mr. Leigh and Mr. Julia. And let me just tell the listeners that may come by. Ms. Leigh is broadcasting from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, and he's a St. George's Old Boys. And Julia is calling in from Miami, and he's also George's Old Boys. So we'll be talking to a lot of old boys and old girls in the next couple of weeks. So I'm very excited about it, because I don't know about the other listeners, but I'm learning a lot about the what went on from the people who did it. So back to you guys.
Well, talking about girls, of course, the only time we had our way was when we were playing football. We had our supporters.
Did you have cheerleaders?
Especially from Alpha and Immaculate.
Especially from Alpha and Immaculate.
The girls' school, for those who might not know, those would be the Catholic girls' school. So they only had one Catholic boys' school in Kingston. Was there any other part of the island?
No. We later had St. Peter and Paul, which was later down in the 60s. But
was that a high school?
In Kingston, yes.
Yeah, we had Campion College later on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We had other girls' schools around the island. Remember that place we used to go for school camp at Mount Alvernia, was it?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Uh-huh.
Montego Bay.
Mount Alvernia. That was the Catholic school?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. In fact, that school only recently lost their headmistress, who held on for all this time, and she just couldn't. She was the only nun left there,
and she
ran the place very, very, very extraordinarily. But she got older too, of course, so
uh-huh.
she couldn't handle it anymore.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the outcome was, whether it's still Catholic or, you know, whether it's just that they don't have any nuns there anymore. But we used to have a good time there for school camp, and that's when we would have, the priest would have us produce a play while we were at, and act it out, and that was fun. you know.
Great. Fantastic. I'm sort of a little curious to know what else would get you in the ring, a demerit.
Oh, you're back at that now? I was not, you know, I should, I don't know who is listening, you know, some of the fellas that was with us could even be priests themselves now, so I don't want to give away.
Yeah, Father Horlong is one of them.
Father Horlong, he thinks
yes.
I'm a saint. Father Nolan, who was a scholastic then, when he first came to Jamaica, and I had him in first form, I have to admit that I threw a few chalk while his back was turned to the blackboard.
That's a demerit right there, Margaret. That's a demerit right there.
She's throwing chalk at the teacher.
No, you can't give it away like that. Margaret will urge you to say more, but I really can't. Everybody thinks I was very saintly. So, at school, I gave you a little hint that I was always in Coventry. So that should tell you something.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah. And Coventry meant being in detention, that I think they would call it now, and your punishment was just standing in front of the group. Are you saying that you would be facing the group, you would stand and face them so they'd know you are the one that did wrong?
Yes.
You're
being ostracized, let's face it.
By standing in front of them?
Yes.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, and they might even ask you to lead the prayers.
Ooh!
it all depends on the severity of how many demerits you totaled, or you know what the situation was. So they would mete out the punishment accordingly.
Right. That is so. I mean, I don't know for the rest of the listeners. But I'm really fascinated because a lot of the schools now, and Julia, I don't know if you have any information on what's happening now. Is St. George's still an all-boys school?
No, it's not, not anymore.
That's what I thought. It's now co-ed.
Right.
Oh. Are there any schools there now, high schools, that are segregated in terms of male-female?
I think that JC and Kingston College, I think Jamaica College is still all boys. But we know, for example, in our time there was the Jesuits and there was always a male headmaster. Today, for example, it's a female headmaster, the headmistress that we have that at St. George's.
But it's co-ed.
Yes.
St. George's is
co-ed. In certain forms. I think at the sixth form level, it's co-ed. But from the first form to sixth form, it's still all boys.
Is religion, as the Catholic religion, being part of the curriculum?
Yes, for Catholics, yes. In my time, it was compulsory, yes.
No. But I mean, what's happening now? Because I know a lot of them are funded now by the Jamaican government. So is Catholic still in charge of what goes on?
I couldn't say. But I would imagine that it may be the same.
All things being considered, it's still a Catholic school.
Right.
Okay.
No. So,
and I'd also like to mention, if there's anyone on the board that would like to contribute to this conversation and has some more now information, because most of us that are in the discussion now are seniors, and I, for one, is a senior. I'm a senior. So,
we're all seniors.
That's a little tagline. So if you have current news that you can help us out with, feel free to hit one on your telephone,
and I'll know that you want to join the Labrish. So with that said, back to you guys.
Yeah, well, what Julio just mentioned about the headmistress, that only started in 2005, I think.
Right.
You know, and so that after 155 years, we decided to make it a liberal and co-ed school. So, you know, we can't continue in today's world without. But even when I went to school, you know, we had what's called was it extension school in the evening.
That's correct.
And I know a lot of girls that went to Immaculate and Alpha that needed extra lab courses and so forth would come to extension classes in the evenings, as would
right.
a lot of people who had to leave school and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, where were your did your exams go to England to be graded?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, in our day, we had the
senior Cambridge.
Final examination.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I mentioned on the first day when you come in, they would give you the syllabus for that year.
Uh-huh.
Or for a couple of years, as the case may be. And this was all in preparation to take the senior Cambridge exams, which we used to call for short finals, at the end of 4 years. And
right,
they would,
right.
And we would take them at school, but they would be sent to University of Cambridge to be marked.
Right.
And may I ask
a question? I think they were graded on the same way that they were, that the English students were graded. Or am I? Is that correct?
Definitely, it was.
That's correct.
It was the England, the all of UK or Canada would come under that same heading.
Right. And, you know, I think that was very important to point out, but it's because it's not like they made a special, they made any special concessions for the islands or, you know, any of the colonies that were not
right.
part of England. And I think that really says something, because that means that they were, the objective was to have the standard of education of the people who were in all over in these islands, I suppose, that could afford it, be equal to what they were producing in England.
Right. Yeah. Well,
and I never ever hear much talk about that, you know,
no.
in the colonialism and what it did and didn't do. But I thought, to me, that sort of stood out when I really think about it.
Yeah, but
they didn't lower the standards or changed anything to accommodate us. We had to be as good as any other English citizen or the colonies that they governed or owned at the time. There was no separation, and the expectations were the same.
Well,
and that
you know,
is why the foundation was so good. And that's why the foundation
right.
of the Jamaican, you know, scholar was so good.
Yeah. I even think that we going to St. George's might have been at a slight disadvantage when it came down to finals and stuff like that, because you wonder if an American, all these priests were American, could really, be the best choice when it comes to preparing us for an English exam.
My feelings are that. You mentioned before that that particular order
was specifically for teachers.
That,
and it seems
right.
to me that people that have a passion for teaching would join that order. They wouldn't go join the other one if they didn't want to be teachers. And
right.
just knowing humanity and how the psyche works, if you have a passion for something and that's what you are doing, you're going to give it 110%.
You're right about that.
I know percentage of classes was good.
As opposed to another teacher or, you know, someone who might have just gone in it because their father wanted them to go in it or whatever.
Right.
To become a teacher. But here, these people, sort of their whole life was to become a Catholic teacher.
Well,
and that's why they entered that particular order. So I think you perhaps got more because it was really coming from the heart.
Right.
Very possible, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know me and my sidebars. But I learned so much from hearing all these various stories told by people who lived them. And I am hoping that the listeners who may come by later and those on the board and online can pick up, you know, something from what we are discussing here that is meaningful to them. And my hope is that, you know, after we're gone and other students, Jamaicans, Jabrits, Jacans, or whoever of Jamaican descent, you know, descendants of Jamaicans all over the world will find some nugget of wisdom and pride in some of these stories that we share. And understanding, really, just understanding. Because, I you know, right now there's all sorts of information on the Internet. Some is totally incorrect. You know, some is not really verified or authentic because, you know, information is information. People can come up with their own ideas of how things were, what was, what should be. And what I think, what I hope we are doing is to be speaking of our period of time and not saying whether it's right or wrong, just saying what was in our experience. So back to you guys. I'm done with the sidebar, and I'm going to hand it over to you.
Well, you know, it's true for history in the first place that depending on who is writing it is how history is going to come out.
Amen.
And you're definitely right about, you know, if you can get people to talk about situations that they experienced. You know, what other people chronicled can only be hearsay in most of the cases unless they were able to interview people going way back when.
Right.
So
and
somebody
that's
might.
Why I want everybody to encourage people with a story to come talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate both of you for sharing with us this evening.
My pleasure.
Yeah, well, Julia, I'm glad you called because, as I said to Margaret, that and when I really looked at the number 60 years ago, is a long time. And if I were to start dialing up some of my classmates, let's say my school chums, I mean,
right.
I'd answer.
Yes,
if you know what I'm saying.
Of course, not here.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, I'm glad you
and
came
we were
on.
And we were able to exchange, you know, the changes that have taken place over the years, and for the better as we journey along.
Yes.
Yeah.
I read also about a lot of extension to the campus itself.
Right. There's been a lot of improvements, a lot of changes.
Yep. I remember way back when that Emmett Park. They used to have bicycle races up there.
That's correct.
And in fact, one of my good friends, Kez Chin, used to, an old St. George's boy, used to be a champion rider when they had bicycle races.
That's
now
correct.
That here has a new pavilion and teaching facilities and stuff like that. So
right,
it would be interesting to take a tour through the place. But I to be honest with you, I don't know anybody there now.
Do you have, there is an old boy association where you are up there?
Ah, that's, you're opening up a Pandora's box now. You remember Moggy Graham?
Yes.
Well, in back in the day, Moggy ran a very vibrant old boys association, and then unfortunately he passed away.
Right.
Some younger fellas thought they would pick up the reins, but they were very discriminatory to the older fellas. And in a sense, you can't blame them, that they didn't know us. So that went down the tubes. But in Miami, in Florida here, you guys...
Yes, we have
a pretty good show down there.
A good vibrant association down here, and also in Canada.
Yes.
One in Toronto.
Yes, that's going pretty well. So I get the newsletter from Toronto.
Yes. Your good friend is up there. I think Joe is involved in that one up there. Joe
is
involved
in there. And,
Joe and Jackson, Raymond Jackson.
Paddy Chung.
Right.
Every now and then I go to a fundraiser down at in Jamaica, and they're all, and the Heroes, that was a new thing, the Heroes function, where they would honor past St. George's boys.
Yes.
I would go and, give a donation here and there. So in a case like that, we would meet fellas from, old boys from the, from Florida and Toronto.
Mm-hmm. So may I ask you gentlemen now, if you could mention three things that served you, that you got from your experience in St. George's, that has served you throughout your life. If you could pick three different attributes, what would you say, Lay?
Well, when you look at it that way, I think even if I were to go to St. George's and didn't pass my exams, to get to graduate, I would still think that I gained from going there, only because of the kind of education that was given. And not only that, but the people that I met in those days prepared me for dealing with people on the whole in as I go along in the world up to this day, you know. People don't... When you interact with other peoples, they wonder that you're really from Jamaica. And I think and that's the background.
Having people from other countries expanded you is what you're saying. I got it. Uh-huh.
So.
Anything else?
Well, we had to make a living and go into the business world, and it surfaced again. And I can't blow my own horn, but they say the kind of intelligence that one shows, you could be very well educated and are not intelligent.
Right.
there again, you know, I think it's all St. George's.
And Julia?
Marge, I would say that besides the academics and the preparation for, you know, for to go to the working world, they certainly did prepare us just to live, you know, how to live and to communicate and to just be a citizen. And I think there was a tremendous emphasis on discipline and punctuality, which I think I carried with me into the working world and social life.
And of course, you know, it starts young. It really starts young because I remember even in my elementary day, if you were late, if you were 3 minutes late, I mean, have to have a very good reason or you'd be punished.
That's correct.
I mean, you don't go late for school, you know what I mean? you'd actually feel bad. So you're so right, because those things are really so important to start early and through the learning years, before you are exposed to the business world is when those things need to be really riveted and highlighted.
Right.
And you want to know, not just in Jamaica, but all over the world, if there's just a lot of, I think they're more relaxed about certain things, and certain things are just actually accepted as part of the change. And you know, I won't be here, but I've just wondered how well it will work. So taking responsibility feeling responsible
and
as part of a group, you know,
and
as Lay mentioned about the houses. And the house would have to work together to earn, you know, its merits.
At the same time,
they were not necessarily doing anything to create demerits in other people, as opposed to some of these reality shows now that young people are being exposed to, where in order to get ahead, you are tearing down somebody else. You have observed that. So I'm glad that was brought out, you know, as a group activity. Because now the group is plotting, you know, to take down the other group.
Yeah.
So it's not just getting better at what you do, but it's getting better by tearing down. And I noticed that as I watch, you know, some of the activity of the now generation. That and how different it is from the way we were sort of channeled, you know, in cooperating and getting together to do better. And it brings me to mind the memory gem that we learn as we are in kindergarten, you know, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best. Anybody remember that?
Of course.
Yeah. So we were always striving for that and not necessarily worried about what somebody else was doing. But we wanted to do what we were doing as a group or as an individual better. Because for our own self-esteem.
We also had a motto, you know, the school motto, remember, Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam. For the good and glory of God.
Gloriam.
Ad majorem Dei Gloriam.
Yeah.
For the greater glory of God. That was our school motto.
That is, and I think that changed the logo from what we had originally, but the motto still stands, Ad majorem Dei Gloriam. Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Wonderful. Do you know if they're wearing the same colors? What was the dress code for you, Julia?
The boys have the white and blue.
Okay.
We had a khaki uniform,
umbrella.
And the blue and white epaulettes.
So.
Ah, I know that the Immaculate Girls wore white with a blue tie or something like that.
That's correct.
But my hope is to get some senior from all of the high schools. So if you know of any, you know, send them my way so we can highlight them on the show. And
of
I'd
course.
Like to call out to the listeners on the board that if you're from some special school and would like to share your stories with us, kindly let us know. And as a matter of fact, you can raise your hand right now and identify yourself and let me know if you would be a participant or know someone who will. Because we only have a couple of minutes left. I think we've had a wonderful evening. I don't know for anyone else, but I know I learned and had some fun.
Well, it was great hearing from Leigh again.
Yes, certainly. And I got to meet up with you when I come down to Florida.
Definitely.
And we'll hash out some of the old times, yes?
Matt will keep you in touch with us.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, and we're going to be signing off shortly. I really appreciate you being here. I thank you for your support and look forward to having you again. And to the listeners on the board, thanks for sharing a seat in the virtual backyard. You know, when we're here for the hour and a half, we are in heaven because we're back in Jamaica in our favorite seat, whether it's under the mango tree, on the terrace, on the beach, or on the veranda. So, and we're feeling the trade winds drift softly across our face, no matter how hot it is or how cold it is or where we are. Because when you come to the Labrish, you're here for a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. So join
yes.
us next. Join us next week when hopefully we'll have an interesting past student who will be sharing with us a life in school in the 40s and 50s. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, have a good night and make it a wonderful week. See you next
Same.
Wednesday. Bye.
Night, Julia. Good night, Madge.
Take care.
Goodbye.